Hi, this is Mike.
And Nathan.
And this is the Third Option Podcast.
This podcast is for individuals who are seeking biblical truth in a noisy, chaotic world of opinions and points of view. Every day we hear politicians, pastors, coworkers, family members, neighbors, and the internet tell us how we should think and what to believe.
Our goal is to give you a third option based on the ancient truths of the Bible. Welcome to this week's podcast. Welcome back to another podcast. Today we're going all charismatic, and we're talking about the only time you ever hear this word. The word we are going to talk about Pentecost.
Pentecost.
Only reason I say that is the Pentecostals. That's thinking of the charismatic movement, and that was the first time I heard about the word Pentecost. And
okay. So yeah, really. All right.
Yep.
First time you heard about it.
Yep.
Yeah, I guess that makes sense, because it's like, why are they called Pentecostals?
Right, yeah. So, why are we talking about Pentecost?
Well, because it is a holiday, a Christian holiday, that is fast approaching. Wait, I think it'll be happening
is released that day.
That's right.
It's going to be Pentecost. So, happy Pentecost.
Happy Pentecost, listeners of the future.
That's right.
Who are going to be present when they're...
Yes, you better be celebrating. You have the day off, right? I mean, isn't all
That's
schools
right.
closed
I think
on Pentecost?
So. I think so, yeah.
It's. Mm-hmm. I mean, they might be closed because it's the end of the year, but...
Right,
so, but, yeah.
Yep.
So, today we celebrate Pentecost.
Mm-hmm. So, we can always start out with sort of what's the view in Christianity... of Pentecost today,
mm-hmm.
and I would say for the most part, probably not too much talked about in Christianity.
Right.
I'm sure the charismatic denominations probably are more, I guess, more common in those of celebrating it.
Yep.
But I would say there's probably large groups of Christians who, you know, don't know anything about it,
mm-hmm.
that it's a holiday, you know, that it's was anyway, but
it was celebrated at some point. Yeah,
it still is in some point, but
when I first started hearing about it, it was from somebody, a friend who would come to our church, and he was from a very charismatic church,
mm-hmm.
you know,
mm-hmm.
you know, he was called himself a Pentecostal. You know, he was big into mm-hmm. speaking in tongues. And
was he a prophet?
He was the prophet, yes. Yeah. That was actually his title. He called himself the prophet Ryan.
Mm-hmm.
Very nice guy, very spiritual guy.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we would have our arguments,
mm-hmm.
scriptural arguments.
Yeah.
And but at the same time, we were brothers in Christ. We
mm-hmm.
got along. We just
mm-hmm.
believed differently in a lot of things.
Mm-hmm.
But he would talk. They would have a big celebration on Pentecost.
Yeah.
And they would have... You know, he'd say his services would last 2 to 3 hours on that Sunday morning
because mm-hmm.
they would party. They would sing the whole time. They'd, you know. So
definitely
a different view than, like, most churches that I doubt this day before
mm-hmm.
are even going to talk about Pentecost.
Yeah. You of course, know about Easter.
Yep.
And about Christmas.
Mm-hmm.
But Pentecost, as we're going to go through, used to be... one of the top two there. And it used to be actually one whole season of celebrations from the time of Passover to Pentecost.
Yeah.
And Pentecost was kind of like the final end to the holiday season there. But that used to be the high point
mm-hmm.
of the Christian year was Pentecost. And,
yeah. I even saw a church recently that they said they were in the Easter season,
mm-hmm.
and they had series going all the way up to Pentecost.
Yep, that's right.
And it was like, oh, that's impressive.
Mm-hmm.
Somebody's actually doing it like
mm-hmm.
the early church did.
Yeah.
And really, I'm sure Pentecost was celebrated at a much greater scale than like something like the birth of Christ was.
Yeah,
in the early church,
yep, definitely, yep. We kind of went over that, I think, in the Christmas episode, kind of the history of that and how it was more minor in the beginning because
mm-hmm.
of the dominance of this season. As you were saying, it was a season Okay. It wasn't just a day. A lot of times we think of holidays as like, this is the day.
Yeah.
Well, they had like a season. It was a season of, you know, celebrations and stuff like that. And so today, you know, there might be some denominations out there that do it, but there's also a lot that don't, you know. Mm-hmm. And so just trying to talk about why it should be celebrated, mm-hmm. and kind of the history behind it and stuff like that. And so, what were you going to say something?
Nope.
Oh, okay.
Nope.
So, kind of going into the history here. So, first off, Pentecost. What's with the name? So, Pentecost is the 50 days after Passover, okay, after the Sabbath there. That's why it's called Pentecost, because Penta means 50.
Wow. Yeah. Yep.
So it's real simple name. It's
a little bit of mathematics in the name.
Yep. Just saying, hey, it's 50 days. It's kind of, it's funny because they do this a lot of times in Greek, when they're translating stuff from the Hebrew, they often give it just like the plainest name.
Yeah.
You know,
you must have thought I was so stupid when I kept asking you when Pentecost is. You're probably like thinking in your head, Mike, 50
no.
days. Why do I have to keep... I kept saying, is it Pentecost yet? Are we going to talk about Pentecost? And he's like, nope, not yet. And I'm like, well, when is Pentecost? And he's thinking in his head probably 50 days after Easter. And I'm still like, well, when is it?
So it is a 50. While. Yeah, it is a while. Days, yeah. 50 days yeah. after. So you think of that season.
Yeah.
You got the Passover season.
Yeah.
And then end in there. and so it's quite a chunk of time.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
But again, it's a season originally, not just days.
Yeah.
But much of this today is just days. Some of the Passover season gets more days. You still have the Good Friday, and you still have the Easter. Yeah. But yeah, but much of it is restricted to just days now. But so it was 50 days. And Pentecost is the name for the Feast of Weeks, is what it says in Hebrew.
Hmm.
And it's the Feast of Weeks because it talks about that 7 weeks after harvest, then you are going to have this day. So that would be day 50.
Hmm.
Okay, 7 weeks later. And so this is a harvest time in ancient Israel. And because in ancient Israel, they were an agricultural society, they had these different crop harvests leading up to Pentecost. And so you have these 7 weeks of harvests of different crops, and then came the crowning day there of the Feast of Weeks, or Pentecost. And we kind of talked about this feast and its effect on, like, the widows and orphans in that series. Mm-hmm. So if you kind of want to know a little bit more about this feast, you know, in the Old Testament, we, you know, touch on some of that in the Widow and Orphan and Foreigner podcast episodes. So there was kind of some other aspects of it in ancient Israel. But we are mostly talking about the Christian celebration of Pentecost, as opposed to the Old Testament kind of view on it. And so Pentecost in Christianity represents the birth of the church, and so it's the founding day of a new nation of people, right? It's this new society, this new group of people is born on this day. Their new community kind of kicks off on Pentecost, and as well as God's outpouring of the Holy Spirit upon the people. And so this is sort of the culmination of what everything's kind of been waiting for, and now, you know, God's kingdom, his people are now birthed onto the world to go and do what he has commanded, and it's sort of like the send-off. Okay, you're... Now everything's begun. So we're kind of in the age of the church and of the Holy Spirit there guiding us. And so in some ways it's equivalent to the Americans' 4th of July celebration. You know, it's this birth of a new nation of people. God's kingdom has begun and will, as we see in the future, come to fulfillment when Christ returns.
Yeah.
And so this is sort of the view of Pentecost here. Yeah. And so the question might be like, well, where do we get this view of the birth of church? You know, is it from tradition? What's it from? And it's, of course, from Bible and from Acts. And so we're going to do a practice that they used to do in the early church is read from the book of Acts. Hmm. So during this time of 50 days leading up to Pentecost, the churches would read from the book of Acts and, you know, remind the people, teach the people about what the early church was like, right? The founders, essentially, right, of what was going on. And that's really what would be primarily taught during this time as a reminder of the early church. And so we're going to read from Acts as well to kind of just read some snippets of some things that would be placed in importance to be reminding the early Christians when they celebrated this holiday. So once again, Passover and Pentecost were one of the earliest traditions. So you have the Lord's Day Sunday, which is the earliest, and then you have the celebration of Passover and Pentecost as way early. Mm-hmm. These are like the original holidays that they would do. And as we talked about with Easter, it makes plenty of sense why you would celebrate these things, because they are like the biggest deals to your belief that Jesus rose from the dead, right? That's obviously significant that you would, and it makes sense that you would celebrate that, as well as the birth of the church, right? The birth of your community is obviously, you know, makes sense to celebrate. Just like the Americans celebrate July 4th. It makes sense why you would do that. It's the founding of, you know, their country and stuff like that. And so in the same way for Christians, you know, Pentecost is the founding day of us. It's where we get the Holy Spirit that helps leads us. And, you know, it's a huge deal. So the first part we're going to read is the pouring out of the Holy Spirit. What kicks all this off, right? What everything's, you know, from the Gospels into this beginning chapter of Acts, everything's building up to this moment. Okay, here comes the helper, right? Here comes the Holy Spirit that was going to be poured out. And so in Acts chapter 2, verse 1, we'll start it off reading. When day of Pentecost arrived, they were all together in one place. And suddenly there came from heaven a sound like a mighty rushing wind, and it filled the entire house where they were sitting. And divided tongues as of fire appeared to them and rested on each one of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. Now there were dwelling in Jerusalem Jews, devout men from every nation under heaven. And at this sound the multitude came together, and they were bewildered, because each one was hearing them speak in his own language. And they were amazed and astonished, saying, "Are not all these who are speaking Galileans? And how is it that we hear each of us in his own native language?" The Parthians and Medes and Elamites and residents of Mesopotamia, Judea and Cappadocia, Pontus and Asia, Phrygia and Pamphylia, Egypt and the parts of Libya belonging to the Cyrene, and visitors from Rome, both Jews and proselytes, Cretans and Arabians, we hear them telling in our own tongues the mighty works of God. And all were amazed and perplexed, saying to one another, "What does this mean?" But others mocking said, "They are filled with new wine." But Peter, standing with the 11, lifted up his voice and addressed them, "Men of Judea and all who dwell in Jerusalem, let this be known to you and give ear to my words. For these people are not drunk, as you suppose, since it is only the third hour of the day. But this is what was uttered through the prophet Joel. And in the last days it shall be, God declares, that I will pour out my spirit on all flesh, and your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, and your young men shall see visions, and your old men shall dream dreams. Even on my male servants and female servants, in those days I will pour out my spirit, and they shall all prophesy. And I will show wonders in the heavens above and signs on the earth below, blood and fire, vapor and smoke. The sun shall be turned to darkness and the moon to blood before the day of the Lord comes, the great and magnificent day. And it shall come to pass that everyone who calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And so this is sort of, again, the one of the crowning, you know, events in all of human history, mm-hmm. that the Spirit is now poured out on the believers.
Yeah.
And this is kicking off this new community of people.
Yeah. And really, we don't know a world without this. We can't experience the world without the Holy Spirit's mm-hmm. involvement. And mm-hmm. the Holy Spirit existed beforehand, but not like upon all believers.
Mm-hmm.
So the fact that you look at the world before this moment, then afterwards, and we talk about that a lot, and how mm-hmm. much Christianity has changed mm-hmm. the entire world. Yes. And it has. It's very evident. Yep. Mm-hmm. Because if you read about the world before this moment,
mm-hmm.
it was a very
cruel,
evil, yeah cruel,
mm-hmm.
disgusting place.
Mm-hmm.
And we look back and we think it was awful,
mm-hmm.
but it's hard to even fathom what it yep. was like for these people mm-hmm. before this moment.
Yeah, absolutely. Mm-hmm. And then another section would be the birth of the church, which is happens some verses later at verse 40 of chapter 2. And this would be a reminder of what this community starts doing, how it starts
mm-hmm.
off.
Mm-hmm.
In Acts chapter 2, verse 40, we'll begin reading about this new community that starts. And with many other words, he bore witness and continued to exhort them, saying, "Save yourselves from this crooked generation." So those who received his words were baptized, and there were added that day about 3,000 souls. And they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and the fellowship, to the breaking of bread and prayers. And awe came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were being done through the apostles. And all who believed were together and had all things in common. And they were selling their possessions and belongings and distributing the proceeds to all as any had need. And day by day, attending the temple together and breaking bread in their homes, they received their food with glad and generous hearts, praising God and having favor with all the people. And the Lord added to their number, day by day, those who were being saved. And so you have this awesome picture of the beginnings of the church.
Yeah.
And what it was like in this new community empowered by the Holy Spirit that is, you know, one. You know, it's this great vision of mm-hmm. God's rule, what his reign looks like
mm-hmm.
To the world. And again, tons of people are drawn to this, and they're coming. And so it's definitely a moment to be remembered.
Yeah.
That, you know, it changed the world, changed yep. everything.
And I think us celebrating this today would be really important to remind people of what the church was built off of, remind people of the Holy Spirit,
mm-hmm.
but also remind people of like what the early church looked like
mm-hmm.
in their actions and how they treated people. Because a lot of people love to bring up that 3,000 people were saved and to think, oh, look, it was a large gathering of people mm-hmm. meeting together.
Mm-hmm.
But then they missed the part of what happened afterwards and how they met together, they broke mm-hmm. bread together, they sold their stuff,
mm-hmm.
they had all things in common, you know, they gave to the poor.
Mm-hmm.
It was just, and they were glad and generous mm-hmm. in hearts. So all their hearts were tied together, they all loved each other, and they all loved everybody else.
Yeah, it's not the start of a club,
yeah.
it's the start of a new society,
yeah.
a new community of people,
mm-hmm.
right? It's much different.
Yeah.
It's much different than they were. It wasn't like this new thought or some new philosophy. It was a lot bigger than that.
Yeah.
It was a whole new community that came to life.
Yeah.
You know, through the power of God.
And what's interesting is, like, look at our cult. Like, when you look back and they talk about all the different people who heard it in their language, there was a lot of diversity in these first days. I mean, look how there was at least, what, 10 different types of cultures. Obviously, God knew what he was doing here.
Yeah.
Because you go, what, a couple chapters later, and this all gets spread apart because Paul shows up with his cronies, and they're like, all right, we're going to start killing Christians. So all these people who heard this message and became Christians with the Holy Spirit now go back to their countries, and this is how it begins.
Yep.
That's why the whole world now does. Well, not the whole world, but pretty much the geographic world has heard about Jesus. Not every land yet, but or group. But you can go anywhere in the world, and at least people know of Jesus in most places.
Yeah.
And that happened pretty quick. I mean, it was they were spreading across Europe within the first century to second century. They're already in Europe
going.
Telling everybody about Jesus. And in Asia. I mean, they if you read the history of where everybody died, it's all over the place. These Christians, most of them lost their lives away from their homeland. So, I mean, pretty much all of them besides one. So...
So, so again, this these things happen during the Old Testament feast of Pentecost, and so that's why, you know, this is connected with Pentecost. Is because that's kind of when it happened, just like Jesus rose, you know, during the feast there of Passover. And so the early church fathers referred to Pentecost as both the time from the Paschal weeks, which means it's the Passover time, from that Sabbath until the outpouring of the Holy Spirit, and so that is the season there, and there is evidence that it was at least universally observed as early as the second century. So of actual proof that you can go prove this, we have evidence as early as the second century, so this is the 100s AD, that this was a universally observed holiday. And so, celebrating during this season, you would celebrate Jesus' appearances also after the resurrection during this time, kind of in between Pentecost from you know, resurrection Sunday there. And so there would be this whole, you know, teaching built around this time of what we are going to remind people of is that, you know, people saw Jesus, they met with him, he's around, you know, resurrected from the dead, and he was there for a long time, right? You're thinking about how long here. And so, and then leading up into the outpouring of the Holy Spirit and the birth of the church. So this was celebrated as a continuous Sunday or Lord's Day for the 50 days by daily having communion with one another, standing prayer, and no fasting. So unlike leading up to Jesus' death as a fasting period, if you remember from the Easter episode we did, the time after Jesus' resurrection was a time of celebration. And so this is not a time of fasting. This is a time of feasting.
This is when we gain some weight, guys.
And celebrating, because you are to be joyous that all this has happened and excited about what God has given through these events. And it's interesting, just all the excitement. You know, you'll read from, for instance, one of the early church fathers that he's like, no Greek feast or Roman feast compares to what we do during this time. And that it was just a huge, awesome celebration. You know, awesome love with one another and the praying and the communion with one another. It's just a great, it was, again, the peak of the Christian year this at this point in the early church. And it's just interesting, just all the excitement that they had about this time. And, you know, I think back to today, or I think on to today, and it's like, it's interesting how different, right? Today's view is, at least in our, you know, situations, compared to what you're reading about, how they viewed it. And they viewed it as a huge, huge thing, you know, big deal. And you know, something that you look forward to.
Yeah.
This was the big point of the year, you know, to look forward to. So, yeah, the Acts of the Apostles would be read during this time. And, you know, day number 40 would be the Feast of Ascension. This is when Jesus ascends into heaven. And so they would read over that portion. And then the 50th day was the big finale of the season with the outpouring of the Holy Spirit, birth of the church. And again, favorite time of year for Christians and for Christians to be baptized. People would be like, this is the time. You know, it was like a really nostalgic time because it's like, this is the time when everything was birthed. And so everybody would look forward to getting baptized during this time because it was so memorable to the early church. And so, you know, kind of going into the third option view here, it's sort of reflecting on this, you know, if this, you know, overview of Christian history here and how they view this holiday, and it's like, what's the disconnect with us to them? You know, why is it they saw this as so important, so big, so great, and put so much into it versus today, it's just, it's a one day thing.
Yeah.
You might know of its existence, you might not. Right? Mm-hmm. Like, what's the disconnect? What kind of happened?
And I don't know if it's because we have a big emphasis on Jesus, and we like to, and we celebrate, and that's great. We're supposed to celebrate Jesus, but it's kind of like a disconnect between Jesus and then the church. Mm-hmm. Like, some reason the church isn't as celebrated as what it was. It's more of the church, because we meet every week, there's no reason to celebrate. I don't know. I don't know what happened. I don't know why this fell off the radar of Christians as being an important celebration. But we still celebrate the birth of Christ. We still celebrate the death of Christ and the resurrection of Christ.
Yeah.
But then this is more of like a celebration of the Holy Spirit, the other part of God, which we should celebrate.
Yeah.
And the celebration of the early church or the birth of the church.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know. I don't know what the reason is.
Yeah. Yeah, it's just interesting how it's just not like what you're reading, you know, what you're reading about.
And I wonder if they, even though they met on the Lord's Day, but they would probably on the 50th day, even if it fell during the week, they'd probably celebrate, correct?
I mean, yeah.
And you were saying they were, I mean, they met daily and broke bread.
Yep.
And did communion. Yeah, they were doing communion. They were standing prayer, what is that? Is that like just standing together and praying?
Yeah, it's sort of like being humble versus like being uplifted. So for instance, like if you are, you know, begging for forgiveness stuff, the traditional way to pray would be, you know, the idea that you're on your face.
Okay.
That, you know, you're sitting there prostrate before before
so
God.
Is this kind of,
and so
once again, like the
idea
opposite
of being joyful and being like, praise the Lord, you know, you're thanking them for the blessings.
So we'd be on our faces before Jesus, before Easter, and then after we'd be fasting and on our faces. Now we're celebrating and standing and praising. Yeah. Okay. Mm-hmm. That makes sense.
Yeah. Yep. And so I think, you know, as Christians, we do need to put emphasis back on Pentecost.
Yeah.
I mean, I think it is a good, again, is it prescribed in the Bible that you have to celebrate Pentecost? No. But is it a good tradition? In my mind, it is. It makes sense. It's a good reminder for the people, for Christians, as to what went on. You know, the time after Jesus resurrected often never, you know, hardly gets hit on.
Yeah.
That, hey, Jesus was around for 40 days, like walking around, you know, meeting with the disciples. There's this whole thing that happens.
Yeah.
And so, and then you go into the birth of the church, and I think it is something that really does need to be hit on, you know. Again, how much this has all affected everything, you know, it deserves to be remembered in my mind. You know, and it should be a time of joy. You know, there should be great joy when we celebrate this, you know, how they celebrated it, you know. And so I think it is something good to not miss out on, you know, to put time and, you know, effort into, and something that should be a peak time of the year for Christians, because of everything that it's given us.
Yeah, it's always nice to have a good reason to celebrate, especially with our brothers and sisters about something. As you know, churches kind of celebrate, but not really. If anything, it's I don't know if it's looked down upon, but yeah. I mean, another good reason to feast together. Let's do it, you know?
Yeah.
Pray, celebrate, have a good time together.
Yeah.
Like, we should do this.
Yeah.
So, and to think, you know, 4th of July, when that comes up, look how much people celebrate that. And it's not a bad thing to celebrate, like, the birth of your nation. But as Christians, we should do the same for Pentecost. It's the birth of the church. It's our kingdom.
Yeah. The eternal Christian kingdom.
Yeah. It's going to be there forever.
Yep.
And the fact it's still around. I mean, you look at, I don't remember who it was, but one of the leaders who in the book of Acts who said, don't worry about it, Christianity will be gone eventually. You know, we're talking about Jesus and these guys who were out preaching Jesus. They're like, don't worry, this will fizzle out. You know, you remember there was somebody else who was like this talking about a Messiah? It's all going to fizzle out. Well, obviously, it hasn't fizzled out. We know the numbers aren't that accurate, but what is it? Supposed to be like 2 billion people on the earth out of 7 claim to be Christians at least. That's a lot of people.
Yeah.
So definitely didn't fizzle.
Yep, didn't fizzle.
It's still around, so we should definitely praise praise this moment, you know, in history and talk about it and remind people what the church is supposed to be and remind people of this kingdom.
Yeah. So remember Pentecost out there.
Yes.
Remember Pentecost.
And happy Pentecost Day.
Yeah, happy
Today's
Pentecost.
Today's the day.
Celebrate, future people.
You should be celebrating right now. Make a big feast. Go hang out with some brothers and sisters and praise God.
Yeah. Get out the grill.
That's right. Baptize your neighbors.
Yeah. Baptizing time. Yeah,
that's
go.
That's right. Have some fun. All right. Well, thanks for listening. There's hundreds and thousands of podcasts out there, but you chose to listen to ours.
If you have any questions, concerns, or ideas regarding our podcast, please email us at thirdoptionpodcast@gmail.com.
That's right. And also, if you ever wanted to support us, get a hold of us. We, you know, it doesn't take a lot of money to do this, but if you ever feel like, you know, you want to buy us a new mic or something, you can. Throw us a few dollars. We would appreciate it because we are fully funded by Nathan and I's salary, which is not much. So we thank you for listening to this podcast, and you know, just remember to. Did you already say that, Nathan? To share? Yeah, you might have already said that, but anyway, yeah, share this with your friends and family out there, and we appreciate you liking us on like you know, we're on Facebook. I think you can like us on SoundCloud and iTunes and Radio One. There's a lot of sites that we exist. So wherever you listen, we appreciate it.
Yeah. So keep fighting the good fight of faith. And thanks for listening to the Third Option Podcast.
See ya.